Alrighty, Chaver. So, B'siyata D'Shmaya, we're going to begin, albeit a little bit late, but apparently right on time. Thank you so much for coming. Okay, so let's jump right in. We said at the end of last week's shiur that there were a couple of sources we didn't get to get to. So, we are going to begin with those. Just a quick refresher. Yeah, there's a little bayah with the sheets. These are from last week. But take, because some of the sources we're going to be doing from last week's, and then we have hard copies of Likutei Moharan and Sichos Ran that we're going to be learning from as well. Okay, so at the end of last week's shiur, really last week's shiur, the whole shiur, we were talking about the concept of Eini Yodea, right? About not knowing. And about how paradoxically, we have the sheets, Chazi Hashem. Don't worry.
I didn't even have one time.
Don't worry, thank you so much. No, these are from last week. We took them out of the Shkach.
So it's something like that.
Okay, you know what? So let's start with what we have, a Seder. So, and then when you're finished, let's put, you know. I just don't know. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. So we were talking about this concept of Eino Yodea. Rabbi Nachman said that his not knowing was bigger than his knowing, right? And what that means, tachlis hayadia shaloi neida, that the pinnacle of knowledge is to know that one doesn't know. And that paradoxically, the more that a person knows, the more he realizes that he's just at the very beginning. And so it turns out that the person who knows the most, and by right, deserves to be the most proud over all that he knows, at the same point, is the most humble person of all. And we talked about how the beginning of the Sicha, which talked about this concept of Tachlis Ha'idiyah Shalei Neda, connects with the end of the Sicha that talks about Ein Shem Yush Ba'olam Klal, that talks about the Maila of Tshuva, that talks about the ability for a Jew to turn everything around, and how everything we talked about is somehow wrapped up into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha Al Yoyna, that Hashem is running the world in such a way that there could be a concept of Tshuva, Me'ahava, turning sins back into merits, and yesh inyan sha'kol mishapich l'toyva, everything turns around, such a thing, that it could be inyan achal l'gamri, Rabbi Nachman said. And the reason why that chizik is put into the same sikha that talks about tachlas idea shaloi neida, about reaching this level of not knowing, is because the ikar chizik that a person is able to give himself is entering into this stage, or entering into this consciousness of saying, Mamish, what do I know? What do I know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachamim? What do I know about how far it reaches? How can I ever decide for myself? Thank you so much. How can I ever decide for myself, or make up my mind, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy is not reaching me at this moment, or is not extending toward me? There are more sheets that are being printed. I'll bring the rest in. But when a person enters into this inyan of Eini Yodea, that's the Ikar Chizik. So I just wanted to see quickly three sources in Kisvei Breslev, two from Likutei Halachos and one from Likutei Tefilas. We're going to learn a tefila from Rav Nasan. I'll talk about Likutei Tefilas a little bit as well. That really knock home this inyan in an amazing way. Okay, so let's hop into to the first source, Likutei Halachos Tefilas Mincha. Hey, 5-5. If you have the old sheets, this is number 4, I believe. This, that a person thinks thoughts of lowliness, smallness, because of the enormous amount or the intensity of a person's sins. Even though a person, in fact, has done what he is worried about, and what he believes has gotten him into such a terrible place. The majority of the time, these very ideas are the strategy of the Yetzirah. The Ein Zeh Anav HaKlal, and this idea, right, that I'm such a lowly person, and you know I'm the worst of the worst. This is not called Anava. This is not a positive thing. This is not. Thank you so much for coming. Baruch Chaim Mason, thanks. So good to see you. This concept is not called anivus. On the contrary, right? This is not called anivus. This is the atzas hayetzer. Rakum mebuchinas moichin de katnas. This is what the Yetzirah wants, is to cast a person into this small-minded place where he's unable to continue. This is not called shivron lev, brokenheartedness, which Rabbi Nachman praised to an infinite degree, and which the Svarim all talk about, how brokenheartedness is a wonderful thing, but atzos is a terrible thing. This is not brokenheartedness. Brokenheartedness, shivron lev, means that a person is honestly reflecting on the brokenness in his or her life, but at the same time, this self-reflection is taking place in the mirror of the endless ocean of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love. and of the knowledge that the brokenness that may be there is all part of a growth process to which there is always a continuation if I choose there to be so. After that reflection, to be able to honestly say, Gevalt, I'm broken, right? And I'm not where I'm supposed to be and I need to fix. But at the same time, Efshar L'Takein, right? Tzarich L'Takein, Efshar L'Takein. That's brokenheartedness. Atzvus means that there's no hope and there's no tomorrow. And that's Moichin de Katna, Sheroitzelis Gabri. You want to give them out or split them up? Sheroitzelis Gaber. As if the person has no more hope. Or to get it into his mind that because a person fell between Mincha and Mariv, when it comes time to now to schlep himself out of his dirar, or to schlep himself out of his house and off his couch to go daven, and he thinks to himself, what's it worth, right? Today's already dead and gone. You know, maybe I'll start tomorrow, maybe I'll start next week or next year or next decade, right? But certainly now I can't get up and daven Mariv. I'm in no place to do such a thing. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to listen to me? And this is really essentially what Rabbi Nachman came to the world to teach us and to warn us about. That a person should not allow himself to be fooled and to be led astray. Because a person needs to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so infinitely great. To his greatness, which we talked about, Gedula is always the meat of Chesed. You remember last week we talked about Hashem's mercy being endless. Gedula is Chesed, right? Gedula is a key word for Chesed, right? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Gedula is chesed. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chesed ein cheker. There's no understanding. And here he says these words, and that's why I put them in bold. Ve'ein anu yoidim klal. And we know nothing about this. And we know nothing, like we talked last week, about what we know nothing about. About what we know nothing about. V'chule infinitely. That whatever we thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim was in a time of brokenheartedness, and again, this doesn't mean that a person shouldn't make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. This doesn't mean that a person shouldn't have his bonenus or his boididus. What do you think all this stuff is? Of course there's a time. Rabbi Nachman says an hour a day. Al kapanim shah, sometime during the day. Not when the Yitzhar tries to knock you off in the middle of the shacharis, right? But a predetermined, like the Baal HaTani says, perech avches, but a set time during the day, when a person enters into that experience, reflect on where you're holding. And I need to reflect on where I'm holding and where I'm not holding, what I need to fix, and what we all need to fix. But at the same time, after that experience of being able to get back up from that place and return to the world, which Rabbi Nachman described as Spodidus, as allowing a person to come back to the world that he left, to go into this place of isolation, bidud, right? But outside of civilization, in a forest or in a field somewhere, Rabbi Nachman described this experience of coming back to the Yishuv and seeing an Olam Acher Legamri, a different world that he left. It's the same houses, the same people, but after a couple of minutes with the Master of the World in honest prayer and connectivity to recalibrate my identity when I come back to the Yishuv, right? To all those details of my life that I now discussed and I expressed and I connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and relied on him, it's Olam Acher Legamri. So Rabbi Nachman says over here that after that experience, when I'm walking back into that Olam Chadash, we have to realize that L'gulose Ein Cheker Ve'ein Anu Yoidim Klal. Right? And he's referring to our Sikha, which, like we said in the first year, was originally printed in the back of Sipur Maisius before being collected and made into its own Sefer Sikha Sran. And it's really impossible to describe these things. Only a person that was meriting to hear it from Rabbi Nachman himself, maybe he could understand a little bit by way of hints. But the rule is, she'ein shem adam yodea klal, gedulasi yizbarach v'rachmanusai ad ein sof, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy is a feature of his infinity, of his infinite essence. That's why in the Gemara, amazing thing, in legalistic conversations, how does the Gemara refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rachmana. It's the most beautiful thing. We're talking about like this legal thing. You know, say like God, Elokim, Rachmana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the merciful one. The merciful one. We refer to the Torah as the merciful one, right? And Araisa v'kutshabrichu chad. And so what do we really know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite essence? Infinity is a concept we can't grasp. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy is also infinite. But that same measure of incomprehensibility. And therefore every person, even if he fell to the place where he fell, in accordance with the unbelievable strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's endless kindness and mercy, Yesh Inyan, and here he quotes from the Sicha, Sheyachal is Hapech HaKol Gamri Mirala Taiver. It's not from this Sicha, but another one, but it's the same Inyan, right? This concept. Inyan Acher LeGamri, right? Nasem Me'avinoisav Inyan Acher LeGamri. And that's what Rabbi Nachman says. Yesh Inyan Shakol Yishapech. Everything could change. LeGamri Mirala Taiver, Avinois Yishapel Leschuyas, Kamash Amar Abinu, Zechon Levacha Beferish. Right, and this is what Chazal tell us ultimately. Okay, let's look at the second piece from Likutei Halachos quickly, so we have a lot to do. And this is in Basar V'Chalav Dalid Yud Gimel. And Rav Nassan writes similarly, but this piece is also very important because in addition to really reviewing what we just learned in the previous piece, he sets it up in a very, very important way. Listen to the way he sets this up. That there's two things that can be true at once. That's what Moichin the Godless means, is being able to approach a topic and be able to have the broad-mindedness to be able to hold two seemingly contrasting ideas and to make space for both of them and to understand how they both fit and how they're both true in different times and different aspects. And listen to what he says. Sheyeda adam emes lamitai, a person needs to know that in the deepest level of truth, again, these words, she'eina yodea klal, 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 loy. What do we know? We don't know anything. Rakis chazik atzmei be'emuna hakadosh, just simply rely on faith. Shekibalnu me'aviseinu hakadosh, that we receive throughout the generations. Ultimately, we're going to talk a lot about this in Sicha Hey, leading back to revelation, right, which necessarily is always going to trump, is always going to rise higher, right, and overcome any sense of philosophizing or any sense of human understanding, revelation Sinai that was passed down midar dar, right? And so we have this emuna that isn't founded on speculation or isn't founded on philosophical rationalization. Ultimately, Rabbi Nachman says over there that God didn't start the Torah with all the proofs, you know, from permission to believe or, you know, so on. It's good to know that stuff. But Moshe Rabbeinu started the Torah with Bereishis Bara Elokim. Just take it as it is, right? That's what Rabbi Nachman says there in Sicha Hey. That's revelation. The essence of our faith is to rely on simple faith, simple emunah. V'al yivav lo yisay shum davar shavah elam, let nothing knock you off course, nothing. Ki ein anu yoidim klal, because at the end of all of your speculation and philosophizing and analyzation, what do we really know? All we know is what Chazal have passed on to us throughout the generations. And Haim Amru v'Haim Amru. Listen to this. And they said two things. And they said both of these things. And both of these things are true. Haim Amru shetzrichim lishbar kolat taiva shaba'olam loy mi boy aveir kol shehu. They said that a person needs to shatter every single taiva, or really elevate every single lowly thought to its source in kedusha. A slight little thing that every soifrim's chamurim medivrei Torah, every small little action, thought, or word that's disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, to run away from it like running away from fire. That a person can get, and again, not in 1 minute, not in 1 year, right? But it's a lifetime avoda to get our ego out of the way and to devote ourselves to becoming vessels for the master of the world's ratzon and desire, to really live our lives in accordance with what he wants be'emes. And that's a lifetime avoda. And all of life is an exercise in trying to get to that stage. But listen to these words. Afilu taiva ba'alma v'shem tenua, she'eino b'ritzayna b'yiriz baruch. Not to make a move, not a breath. That's out of line. That's a chait. Milashon lo yachdi, to miss. That misses the essential purpose of my life. To run away. And to distance ourselves from this action, thought, or word with the ultimate level of distancing. Because the Svarim are marich to explain that it makes a dent and it makes a blemish, not only in the soul of the Jew, but and this is called Sifrei Musar. That's a bechin of Haim Amru. That we need this stuff. It's not all about the chizik all the time and just peace and love. And that's all. We need that too, right? But it's Haim Amru v'Haim Amru. And I gave a lot of shiurim on this, and I always speak about the necessary balance between both in order for both of them to maintain a level of accuracy. Because if you take too much of one and too little of the other, then nispardu achavila, then it's not, so there's no kunz anymore, there's no chiddush. Right, so a person lives where whatever you do is fine and everything you do is good. something missing. And if a person lives where nothing you do is good enough, right? And there's no sense of any chizuk, and there's nothing, no well, right? Of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love to dip the bucket into from time to time, that's also, it's impossible. So it's Haim Amru Behaim Amru, right? But in Breslov, the beauty of it was, you know, Rabbi Nachman said it slightly differently in another piece, in, I think it's in Siach Sarf HaKadosh, it's brought from Levi Tzlik Bender, that he records, it's based on a Sikh and Sikh HaSaran. But Rabbi Nachman once said, he said that the Misnagdim say that Torah is the most important thing. So the Hasidim say that Tefillah is the most important thing. And he says, I say learning and davening and learning. Right? Or it's really davening and learning and davening. Davening, learning, and davening. And for me personally, you know, in the beginning, in the very beginning of coming close to Breslov, and I hope that I'm still in that stage, you know, Be'ezer Hashem, we should always be starting again fresh. Al tashlechein le'ez zikna, right? That nothing should become old for us. It should be fresh. This was something that spoke to me a tremendous amount, you know, because in my exploration of different drachim and avodas Hashem, you know, Baruch Hashem, I was a free agent. Like, I wasn't too tied down. I, you know, had a bechina of like a chal hapanoi where I was just bechlal not, you know, and then after that, it was just, and I think that's the nature of our generation, how beautiful it is that all of us really have that freedom to explore. You know, we have that azus to kedusha, to follow the voice inside and to trust in it, to trust in it. Previous generations didn't have such a freedom. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. And there's so many drachim to choose from. But what I felt is that every derech is stressing something specific that the other derech is not so much stressing. One is stressing Eretz Yisrael, right? To the exclusion almost of anything else. Like, that's the agenda, you know? One is stressing Shabbos, certain chassidus, and that's it, like Shabbos. Almost the exclusion of other things, right? Or that importance rises to the fore to the point that all the other points of Torah are obscured. One is stressing Mashiach. One is stressing the Tzaddik. One is v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. And I felt in Breslov, I had a sense that this was a derech that encompassed all of those things and that knew how to talk about all of those different aspects of Avodas Hashem with the same level of ultimate concern and ultimate importance, to the point that all of the 613 mitzvahs and the 12 shvatim and all of the different drachim which Am Yisrael are divided among were all seen as being equally important in relation to the fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem. And that when Ratzon Hashem, when it's Hashem focused and it's all about the master of the world, and everything else is viewed as a derech to him, so the Memela, it's the great equalizer, right? And everything becomes a derech. And yes, Eretz Yisrael, Adasof, Mashiach, Adasof, Shabbos, Adasof, Tzaddik, Adasof, all of these things, and not to the exclusion of anything else. And that was something that spoke to me an awesome amount. So over here we see it in this piece, Haim Oimrim, Behaim Oimrim, right? Or Haim Amru, they said this, and they also said this. And Breslov's not a stira to be able to bring these things together and to teach us when to whip out that chizik that's necessary at the right time and that muster that's necessary at the right time so that we always have something to be mechaya ourselves with at all points. All right, how fitting that Rabbi Nachman wrote a sefer called Sefer Amidas, which was initially called Sefer Aleph Beis, right? That every single letter has something to teach us practically on some midah, on some inyan, on some stage of life, something. The entire Aleph Beis, from Aleph to Tav, there's no area of life that Rabbi Nachman didn't have something to say about. And so that's a remarkable thing. So this is the Haim Amru of Musar. But the Haim Amru, they also said that at the same time that we're going to stress that a person needs to distance himself from every shemetz and an ounce of rebellion against the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be involved in lowly things and lowly actions and averus. But Vehim Amr, they also said at the very same time, Shamar Bazachar B'dibur Echon, Shafiluam Avar Adamasha Avar, that even if a person is not able, not only to succeed 1,000,000%, but even if he fails completely in the first Haim Amru, Afiluam Avar Akol Atayra Kula Alafim Pa'amim, listen to this lashon, you won't find such lashon anywhere else, Kamat. That a person is over the entire Torah 1,000 times, none of us know in our wildest dreams a person is over the whole Torah 1,000 times. 1,000 times. Even though Filo Rikonim Shabbat Malayas mitzvahs Kariman, we don't even know the simplest Jew, person doesn't know he's Jewish, how many mitzvahs he does just by virtue of being a human being, right? And charity and saying a nice word and trying to stay away from, you know, slander if that's a thing. Like, just basic moral ethics is all mitzvahs. But a person transgresses the entire Torah 1,000s of times, Rachman Alatzlan, Afal Pikain, Ain Shum Yishba Ilam Klal. And this was a revelation to me again. that one need not be a stira to the other. And that we can take both, and that we can make a shiluv, and that both contribute to the shleimus of engagement with Avodas Hashem that's healthy. Because otherwise, again, it's just drifting off to one extreme, drifting off to another extreme. And if there's one thing that Kabbalah teaches us, and that Hasidus teaches us, and that Taurus MS teaches us, is that extremes are never, ever, ever good. Right? We talked about this, I think, previously, but this is why Avram has Yishmael, and Yitzchak has Esav, and Yaakov Avinu is Mitas Shleim. Yaakov Avinu only has Shvatim. What's the Torah telling us? Avram is the Midas HaChesed exclusively. Yitzchak is the Midas HaGvur exclusively. From exclusive extremes comes a Psalas. Comes the Yishmael from Avram, comes the Esav from Yitzchak. Only Yaakov Avinu is Midas HaTiferes, which is where the Torah comes from, by the way. The Torah is rooted in Tiferes, and that's the manifestation of Torah Shavikzav, which is rooted in Chachmeila, but that's how it comes out. And Tiferes is a blend between both, and Mimela, there's no psolas from that. And so extremes are never good. What we need is the extremes of everything at once. There are some chever that happen to seem to have the balance, but they have the balance because like they somehow ended up somewhere in the middle without trying. But it's lacking life because they're just there. We want to be in the middle by virtue of being pulled to both extremes with the same amount of force. And Mamela, when you're in the middle because you're being pulled to both extremes with the same amount of force, then you're in the middle, but it's pulsating, but it's fire. That's what Rabbi Nachman wants. He wants you to be in the middle. But that the being in the middle should be a feature and an effect of being pulled to either side. Ultimate Musar, ultimate Chizik, and being able to live within that tension of striving for everything, but at the same time being able to be Mechai yourself with nothing. That's Breslov. That's a Chiddush. And that's Haim Amru, the Haim Amru. Ein Shem Yish Ba'ilam Klal. This is a very important paragraph. Can you imagine if we kept this in our pocket, we'd be good. So you always have something to either guide you when you need a little bit of, you know, a little kick in the pants, and then also to be Mechai you. To be Mechazik you. And that you have to start every single moment fresh. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes such pleasure from the lowest Jew, from the lowliest person. This is the primary godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When those that are so distant from Him, when they try, when they strive, and when they move an inch, and when they move 2 inches, how much unbelievable pleasure that brings to the Master of the World, that a person in such a lowly state was able to schlep against thousands of pounds of Yitzhah Haralach that are pulling him back and come close to me. Ah, there's no greater Shashuim in the world. Haim Amru, the Haim Amru. Right? But the Iker is, and that's why I brought this piece now, is because the first sentence has those words, She'eino Yodea Klal. That's where Chizik starts, is entering into that Nivus and the humility to say that Mamish, again, at the right time, not always to use this, because then you're going to fall into all the you know, the potholes along the way, right? But after a person slips into a pothole, despite doing everything in his power, right, to try to stay around that, which we learned in Sicha Beis, so then we need to tap into the second Haim Amru, right? And to be able to realize that Eini Yodea Klal, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachma Kilei Chalu Rachma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy is infinite. I don't know what I don't know, what I don't know, what I don't know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachma. And it's surrounding me and lifting me up and enveloping me and bringing me close to Him all the time. And it's reaching me, dafka me, etc., etc. That's the ultimate chizik that comes out from that. Let's just read this piece from Gute Tefillas together, and then we'll jump into the Ikar of tonight, even though it's already very late. But we'll see. This piece is from the Likutei Tefillos, the second chelek, Tefillah Mem Beis. And the Likutei Tefillos, for those who aren't familiar, is founded on Rabbi Nachman's guiding Reb Nosson to embark on a new path, on a novel path, on a chiddush of a path of turning Torah into tefillah. Just on a very basic level, what does it mean to turn Torah into tefillah? A person learns something, learns a Gemara, learns a new halacha in Mishneh Berurah somewhere, Chai Adam. A person learns something in a Musar Sefer, in a Hasidah Sefer, or in Chumash, Rashi. A person learns something, and after learning it, he looks up at the Master of the World, and he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, please help me keep this halacha. I just learned today that I'm supposed to ABCD. Ribbono Shel Olam, I want nothing more than to serve you. And you know how much Yitzhah Haras are pulling me down. Please help me be Mekai in this. Chiddush. Unbelievable Chiddush. Al Talmidei Chachamim finished Shas 1,000 times, never crossed their mind once to look up at HaKadosh Baruch Hu after a limud and to connect, b'chlal, to connect with Him, you know. But to daven up what is being learned on a simple level, this is the bechina of Ritzoneinu Lasas Ritzonecha. Because what's Torah? Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, right? That's the manifestation of what He wants for us, right? What He's trying to guide us to, or toward, to do, to live, how to live. What's Tefillah? Tefillah is our Ratzon, essentially. All the things that we want. When we go ahead and we daven up a piece of Torah, that's the bechina of Ritzoneinu Lasas Ritzonecha. Our Ratzon is really ultimately, essentially, to do your Ratzon. It's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. And this is the bringing together of our Ratzon and Hashem's Ratzon, where we're totally and completely mevatel the Bechina of a Tzimtzum, the Bechina of a concealment, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon is independent from ours, or where my Ratzon is independent from His, and I can exist in His, as an independent being making my own decisions. In that moment of turning Torah into Tefillah, there's no Tzimtzum. It's Ein Oid Mavadeh. There's no chalal apanoi, there's no anything, it's godliness, elokus. Right? Because what's tzimtzum? Tzimtzum means that I can want my own things, right? Now I can make bechira. That's ultimately what tzimtzum is, that Hashem is so hidden, and that it's not clear to us that really He's doing everything, that it seems to me that I can make my own decision to even act against His will. Which is the bechina of boyal paro, ikan ichbati asli, but we'll also get into that at the end. I don't think we'll have time for that, but that's a svasem, this week's parasha. Other svarim also. But in this moment that I turn Torah into tefillah, I'm mevatel that. Because I'm really showing that Ribbono Shel Olam, all there is your Ratzon. And even this, that in my experience of being able to choose my own bechira, but I'm expressing that I want to utilize that space within my mind. Which, by the way, that's where the tzimtzum is. The tzimtzum is the skull of a person. Make no mistake about it. That's the chalal apanoi. Everything outside of your skull is Ratzon Hashem. Anything inside of your skull is your own ratzon. What's the tzimtzum? The tzimtzum is that which separates between what's outside you and what's inside you. But in the moment that it's ritzoneinu lasas ritzonecha, it's einoid melvada. Tocho ratzav ava. That's a very high thing. That's a very high thing. It's a lofty thing. That's on a basic level. Basic level. On a loftier level, this is the bechina of Yichud Kutsh Brichu Shchinte. We don't have time to get into it now, but Torah is an aspect of Kutsh Brichu, the transcendent godliness. Shechina is an aspect of Tefillah. Tefillah is an aspect of Shechina, which is the indwelling presence of godliness. And when I go ahead and I turn the Torah into Tefillah, this is the Bechina of Yichud Kutcher Bruch Shchinte, of bringing these two together. It's also, I speak about it a lot in the new book, Bezer Shamal, copies, hard copies, over the next couple of weeks for anyone who wants. But that's the inyan of freeing the princess, where the viceroy, for those that are familiar with the story, needs to embody certain princess-like traits, certain feminine qualities that are associated with the princess in order to free her. This is turning Torah into tefillah, that the Torah becomes tefillah. So Rabbi Nachman, after telling Rabbi Nachman all about this derech, he guided him and he showed him a little bit how to do this, what mahalach to take. And then Rabbi Nachman went on to take every single lesson in Likutei Moran, which are 411 lessons in two volumes, and turn each and every lesson into a tefillah. So that the Breslovers, when they spend months on a lesson from Likutei Moran, really learning it. And that means that every time Rabbi Nachman brings a pasuk, you look at the pasuk before it and the pasuk afterwards and all the Rishonim and Acharonim on the pasuk to realize how it's all connected to the Gilui of Rabbi Nachman that is able to illuminate Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. So they really sit and learn it. Be'in Rav. When they're all finished, they take out Likutei Tefillos and they daven up what they learned. That it shouldn't be an inyan of limud b'li maisa. But it's loy halimura ikar ella hamaisa. So the main thing is to bring it out into bepol mamish ritzenenu lasus yitzenecha. That's Likutei Tefillos. And Ladaiti, again, I don't know, but to my knowledge, there are only two books in the whole world that have books of tefillah written on them. Crazily enough, you know, not to draw any comparison, Avdil, obviously. But the Torah has Tehillim written on it. That the Medrash Tehillim begins with telling us that the five books of Tehillim are connected, the Chamishah Chamshei Torah. And the Likutei Moran has Likutei Tefillos written on it. But those two things, you can daven both of those svarim up. Unbelievable thing. Remarkable thing. So this is a piece from Likutei Tefillos. The most beautiful, beautiful Tefillos. These prayers are unbelievable. It's been translated into something called the 50th Gate. Many, many, many volumes. Likutei Tefillos is a thick sefer. And if it's possible for Chevra, to try to set aside a time every single day to say Likutei Tefillos changes everything. It's among the most real moments of my day when I get to sit in the morning and say Likutei Tefillos. It's just the most honest, the most real. Even as Svodada, sometimes you can't come up with the words, but Rav Nosson was a master poet, was a master communicator. And he wrote words in such a way for each and every one of us to find ourselves in those words, to be able to express our deepest ritzonus and desires before our Kaddish Baruch Hu in the most unbelievable way, that Rav Nosson, in his life, while he was still living after Likutei Tefillos came out, was made that there are people who are sitting in Gan Eden because of the Sefer. Likutei Tefillos. So let's read a tefillah together. And by the way, in Breslov, not only do they say the tefillahs, but they learn the tefillahs as a pirush on the Kutumrat. Right? Because if this is Rabbi Nosson taking the Torahs and making it practical, we want to be able to learn that and see, like, you know, what's the mahalach? How did he understand it? And a lot of times you'll see Mefarshim on the Kutumran bring down from Likutei Tefillos to be able to shed light on the understanding of the Torah. Amazing thing. Ana Hashem, says Rabbi Nosson, Likutei Tefillos, Chelik Beis, Mem Beis. Chacham leva v'amitz koyach. A lot of times, always quoting from the whole Tanakh, which he had in his fingertips. Asher achachma batvuna imcha levad. That chachma and tvuna are alone with you. Only you have access to true chachma, intellect, wisdom, and understanding. V'lutvunascha ein mispar v'chol achachamim kibli madam mikol shekein v'kol shekein nivar midas kamayni. Certainly a person like me who's so removed from das. Listen to this. Guide me and teach me. Not so that I could know something. Because I know so little, says Rav Nosson, I don't know how little I know. And so I need your help to show me that I really know nothing. So that I can get chizik from this. And begin every moment anew, fresh. No matter how I am, that I should have this unbelievable merit and this ability to begin again. And all of these things that are your true will, let it be that I should be able to hold on tight and to be able to give it my all and to start anew and to start fresh. Let nothing knock me off course or confuse me. Let it not become discouraged from all of the failures and all the difficulties in my life. Klal. Let me know and let me understand and let me discern and let me have the intellect to be able to understand. I don't know what is happening in this world ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what your plan is and what you're doing with me. We spoke about Gulgulim, we spoke about Tikkunim, we spoke about how little in our lives it's possible to grasp of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's master plan that encompasses domim tzomea chai medaber of thousands and thousands and thousands of years, the complexity of which no computer would be able, you know, even the super computer, to be able to process information, data. What do we know? Whatever I find it possible to do from this moment on to grab at any aspect of holiness. And this also ties back into this concept. It doesn't have to be, this is the way, this is the derech. Who has time for shitas? Grab whatever you can grab. Grab whatever you can grab. 5 minutes of Tehillim there. How many people, I always say this, Moshe, you come to a base medrash and you have 15 minutes to learn and you spend 10 minutes in front of this firm. You know, I should learn this. And then after you finally decide on something, you have like 2 minutes left. You know, grab something, grab it, holiness, kedusha, whatever it is. Life is so short. But let me merit to accomplish this in a way of completion, and to strengthen myself, and to scream out to you, no matter what the situation is. And let there not be power. In my das and my chachma shall hevel levavol oisimia emes chas v'shalom, to make me think like I really understand anything about what's happening in my life and about what you really want from me. Rak eskal adas v'chachmo bina mitim lahavin, to really understand ha emesh arachik mimeni achachma. That's the true chachma. Is levlilias chacham klal, like we learned. And all I have is the knowledge that you love me. And all I have is the knowledge that we're in a relationship. And all I have is the understanding that that at the end there's no Jewish person, like Rav Sadia Gaon says. We learned this together, Pini. Remember the end of, right? The end of Shalos Tshuvos, I think, from Rav Sadia Gaon. No, it's Sefer HaMitzvos. At the end of Rav Sadia Gaon Sefer HaMitzvos, toward the end, he has this very, very interesting section where he had questions that were asked of him with regard to Yemos HaMashiach. And one of the questions is, you know, what's going to be with all of those Jews that aren't worthy? And Rav Sadia Gaon says, everyone's going to be worthy. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find out a way to be Misakin. And it's all the Svarim bring it from a Pasuk, right? I believe it's in Shmuel Beis, or one of those Shmuels. That the Melech, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will see to it that there's nobody that's cast away. And any Gehenim and any Tikkun and any negativity that we need to go through is a cleansing process to be able to bring us back and clean our face, so we should be able to sit at the King's table. Right? But that's not the essence of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. It's not the essence of it. So in a moment where I feel as if I lost everything, I have to reconnect myself with the one thing that I know. Is that Chazdi Hashem ki loy sam ki loy chalu rachma? Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rachman Amiti, Hamarachim Rachim Aleinu, Oiv Ama Yisrael, Rachmana, Rachmana, Rachmana. And to know that I really know nothing even about that, but all I know is that if I'm still breathing, we spoke about this last time, Atam Advekim Hashem Alekechem, is because Chayim Kul Chamiyim, you're living, you're alive. So start from now. And to start again, because again, if you only have the Vehem Amr of the Chizuk, there's no, so what else are you going to do? So you're perfect, you're fixed. Now, so you have to have the other Vehem Amru. Now it's a Shas Aliyah. After you strengthen yourself and you have that foundation where you can never sink below sea level to drown in the sea of Yiyush, where Rabbi Nachman took the venom out of the bite of the snake so he can bite through the Yitzhahara, but the venom is gone, right? The venom is the Yiyush, right? It's to cause you to give up afterwards. So after that, that you have that foundation, now you better hop back onto the Vehem Amru train of you got to do everything and you have to try so hard, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects so much from us and we can do so much. V'chule. The balance between these two things, otherwise how can you live b'chla? So most people who live and seem to be healthy people are disconnected equally from both of these things and happen to be plopped in the middle somewhere where everything is B'li Kavan and Stam. Like Stam Judaism, from Jew. Stam is like 80% of people. The other percentages are unfortunately either connected to one or the other, and they're unhealthy people. They're intense people, but it's unhealthy ultimately, and it comes at the expense of their own mental health. It comes at the expense of their kids and of their parents, v'chule, v'chule, and of their spouses. And then there's a very, very unique portion of people, which we're all striving to be, which have the intensity, but have the intensity in such a way that we're able to give ourselves what we need when we need it throughout every avenue and area of life, so that when we need to chill out, we can chill. When we need to have patience, we can have patience, even b'mili d'shmaya. And at the same time, when we need to know that it's time to really be so, so, so strong, to really have that shivron alev, like we spoke about, to really do that cheshbon ha-nefesh, the breast of cheshbon ha-nefesh, the real breast of cheshbon ha-nefesh. The PR of Breslov is among the worst PR organizations in the world. It's b'chlal not. Breslov is the balance. It's bringing everything together. It's nachon aveir mekar chachmas keser. Keser includes everything. All of the different drachim, all of the different streams wrapped up in one, that gives us the ability to be able to hold on no matter what we need in life. Rabbi Nachman is the storage house, you know, of all the different medicines that every person needs, spiritually. He's a tzaddik amiti that knows how to speak to each and every person on their level. The ain't idea klal, right? So the esmech alech levat tamid beemes. V'loy ech shemachshav as yisera is klal, not to overthink. V'at atasi imi kertzayin chat tamid. Ultimately, you're guiding me. So I have to do mine, I have to do my ishtadlus, but at the same point I have to let go when I need to let go. V'sigmar imi chafetzei, cheftzei shamayim, kertzoyin chatoi, the emes, ultimately you are going to be able to guide me to where I need to go at the end of the process. Let's hop into Sichas Ran Dalad. I was going to say that it took longer than it was supposed to, but obviously it wasn't. Obviously it didn't. And so here we hop into Sichas Ran Dalad. It's a little bit of a longer piece. I think Penny, does somebody have the sheets? We have another set of four?
Right here.
Huh? Perfect. It's a little bit of a longer piece, but it's also a little bit of a simpler inyan, but it's something we're going to be able to see a little bit more quickly. Okay, so let's try. And if they don't start Marv, so we'll still try to go an hour. Yeah, because we have another 20 minutes left officially from when we started. In our days, it is very, very kasha, difficult. It's hard. For an ish kasher, for a truly righteous person. And by the way, chas v'sham, I don't want any kitrug, you know, or any implication of my having said 80% of Am Yisrael, b'chule. First of all, it's a complete exaggeration, maybe 1%, maybe. And even the 1% is just because of a lack of education, not because they want that. Because unfortunately, it's a lack of education. And even the lack of education is because times are changing so rapidly that the system that once worked is trying to catch up. And it is catching up. So Nimsa, nobody's at fault. And Chaz Hashem, Am Yisrael is so beautiful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much. And we're the greatest in the whole world. And Chaz V'Shalom, not to speak bad about anybody. Chaz V'Shalom. Because a person needs to have a tremendous yirida, chas v'shalom, al shiyasig mois, until he's going to merit to be able to access wealth. And he's not talking about parnasa; he's talking about wealth, a lot of wealth. Va'afilu achra yirida chas v'shalom, and even after the yirida into that place of wealth. Even so, it's a shema. It's not a bari. Because even wicked people, or even people that are wasting away their lives and focusing on this world as opposed to the next, not everybody manages to achieve that ideal. Even though that's the ultimate ambition of the American dream, you know, at Vichuli and Western society, not everybody manages to do it or to make it. Even though they put everything and all their effort into it as much as they can. But a truly kosher person, a good Jew, and it's really distant from him. Again, to connect to such a thing. Why is this so? Because after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, wealth and the concept of Ashiras fell into the lowliest pits of the klipos, of the negative forces. Bevechinas, the pasuk in Eicha says, "Vaterid plaim ein menachem." That the Beis Hamikdash and Am Yisrael descended plaim in a wondrous, wondrous way, in a terribly unimaginable way, ein menachem to the point where there's no consolation for us. Plaim says Rabbi Nachman. This word plaim, vaterid plaim, is osios alafim. It's the same letters of alafim, and alafim is the key word for wealth. Alafim, thousands of dollars just laying around, right? Alafim is wealth. If you have $100, okay, you know, I could buy a shawarma, you know? Yeah, $1,000, so then a little bit we're talking. Hainu sha alafim shalashiris yard plum and fell down into the pits. Vaterid plum is vaterid alafim. Tahainu, you read the gedolah in a flaw. Fell very, very distantly. Al kain, therefore, behechrich shi'ilei chas v'shalom yirid gedolah ma'oid, kaidim sheba la'ashiris. Therefore, a person's going to need to have this tremendous descent before he's going to merit. Ashiris, da'ayinu, alafim, mizumanim. Again, you know, ready, liquid cash, alafim, you know, hanging around in the bank that you could cash it. Va'adayinu safik canal. But even so, it's a safik. That's what we talked about. Aval ish kasher be'emes, kasher la'ma'oid shi'ilei ashiris. Even after having that descent, it's very, very difficult for such a person to access Hashiras. Even though we do find that tzaddikim did have money, we do find, right, for example, the Rishoner court was like Malchus. They even have pictures now, you could look it up online, where they have pictures of the Beis Medrash, even the house of one of the Rishoner Rebbes. You saw it's like a palace, Mamasha palace, a mansion, the way that they lived. Unbelievable, right? Because they were being misak in the bechina of wealth that was ultimately rooted in the Beis HaMikdash, where everything was gold, and you can imagine how much that building costs, right? And the kalim, pure gold, unbelievable. That was the source of Ashiris to Kedusha, which ultimately Rabbi Nachman speaks about in other places, is a very, very lofty thing. Ashiris to Kedusha, holy wealth. Money, the concept of money, is one with the concept of the root of the Jewish soul. Which is, that's why in the world, it's an anti-Semitic trope, you know, but Jews and money have a connection. It's not stam. It's true. It's true. Rabbi Nachman says in Likutei Moran and a later Torah, the Tzaddik says that because Jews are connected at their source to money in spiritual sense, that's why he says non-Jews are willing to waste $1,000 as long as they could take $1 from a Jew. Because Jewish money is shining. There's something about Jewish money. There's something about that concept that's connected to the source, because money, what's the source of money, is kesef and zav. Kesef and zav are connected to gold, are connected to chesed and gevura. Kesef is chesed, gold is gevura, zav is gevura. And what's the essence of Am Yisrael's soul? It's Tiferes, it's Yaakov Avinu. Right? Yisrael HaShabacha Espa'er. Am Yisrael is connected to the Bukhin of Tiferes. What's Tiferes? It's a mix of chesed and gevura, it's gold and silver. That means that the root of where we come from is the same spiritual root of wealth. So by the Beis HaMikdash, that's where things were supposed to be. Now it's Vateri Plaim, Ein Menachem. Now it's in the Klipa. So in order to get there, a person has to have a big, big, big Yerida first. And so even these tzaddikim that they had Ashiris, Ha'afal Pikein, Ein Lehem Ashiris, Galda Mezuman, they didn't really have, you know, a tremendous amount of wealth. Kamoshi Yesh La'akali Olam. Sheish lam alafim urvavos adumim zumanim, you know, liquid cash. Ki achshav kashav achavim oed, again, very distant and difficult for a person. Sheilak sheir mashiras, for truly connected Jews, right, that are focused on being mevutal to the ratzon Hashem and to serving Hashem through the medium of the Torah and the mitzvos, to really access wealth. The gemara shalaimer m'shem Rabbi Nachman Zakeni. Listen to this, I love it. He says in the name of Rabbi Nachman, who's his grandfather, after whom he was named, the son-in-law of the Baal Shem HaKadosh, the husband of Adol, but together they had a daughter, Fego, who married Simcha, and they had Rabbi Nachman. And this son, Nachman, was named Rabbi Nachman, or Nachman, after his grandfather, Nachman Haradenker. It's one of the closest talmidim of the Baal Shem, who moved to Eretz Yisrael in the latter years. And listen to what Reb Nachman Haradenker says. Listen to this. Chazal tell us, this is a Gemara, right? It's a Pasuk. And the Pasuk says, that on the right hand of Torah is Orech Yamim, is length of days. On the left side of Torah is Oishar B'chavit, is wealth and honor. Says the Gemara, what's Biyamina and Bismaila, what does this mean? On the right and on the left of Torah, says the Gemara, Biyamina is l'mayminimba, is to those that are taking the right path, not just, you know, the right, but the, you know, on the right, which is the bechina of lishma, those people that are learning Torah properly, they access Eirich Yamim, Eirich Yamim Biyamina, those people that are learning Torah lishma, Ubismaila is l'masmilimba, those that are learning Torah shalo lishma, is Eishar B'chavit, they'll get Eishar B'chavit. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Ubismaila Eishar B'chavit, says the Gemara, Eirich Yamim Ika, on the right hand, those that are learning Torah lishma are going to be zochet to a long life, but Eishar B'chavit Leka? They're only going to have Eirich Yamim, but they're not going to have Eishar B'chavit? How does that work, right? Only the people are learning shalo lishma get Eishar B'chavit, and the people on the right get Orich Yamin, but they don't get Oishav Echavit. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Amru, Kol Shekein Oishav Echavit. The Gemara says, we didn't need to say that, of course, Kol Shekein, they're going to have Oishav Echavit. Va'am Rabbi Nachman Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, in a very sharp, chassidish sort of like sarcastic way a little bit, she'll rock Kol Shekein. At the end of the day, yeah, the Gemara says, of course, you're Kol Shekein. But it's not a first in the Pasuk. It's only a Kol Shekein. A Rak Kol Shekein. Yeah, it's very nice. Of course, you'll have Oishar B'chavit. But Tachlis, the Metzias shows not that way. But Kol Shekein, Shiro Oishilem Oishar B'chavit. Yeah, it would be nice, you know, wishful sort of thinking. I will loy perish. But bottom line, the Gemara, you know, the Pasuk doesn't say that, you know, Oirich Yamim V'Oishar B'chavit B'Yamin. It only says Oirich Yamim. Oishar B'chavit, those that are on the right, those that are learning Torah Lishmar, are not so zochet to tap into all the time. Shurak Kol Shekein. Rak Kol Shekein. Gaval Pikein, Ein Lehem Uzumanim Kama Lofim Adumim, which we discussed. It's not liquid cash like we talked about. Let's jump into the notes. And here we're in note number 4, and I just split it to divide between last week's year and this week's year. Says the Heilige Messias Lasharim, In the very first perek, perhaps the all-important first perek of Mesilas Yesharim that you really have to review as often as possible. There was a time when I was trying to do it once a week to start off the week, you know, beginning of first Seder Sunday. First perek of Mesilas Yesharim is like the basic refresher course, you know, and what we're here for is the mission statement. Says the Hilgram Chal v'Nimsa, we find Shumusam Emes b'Teicham Ochama Chazaka, that a person is living life in the middle of a war. Mamish in the middle of a war. Kikol inini ha'olam bein l'toyv bein l'ra hinehem nisyonis la'adam, because we're being tested each and every moment, no matter what our circumstance is. Ha'oini mitzad echad, on the one hand, poverty is an incredible nisayon that none of us should have to ever experience a shemitz of such a thing, not knowing how we're going to pay the rent, having to walk around with debts piled up on a person's shoulders that we don't know how we can move and pay off what we need to pay. It's debilitating. It's ke'ilu, it's having a terrible medical situation where you can't walk. You have so much you want to accomplish, but a person's drowning in debt, he can't think anything else. He can't move past that. That's a tremendous nisayon. Ha'oini mitzad echad. Ha'va'oisher mitzad echad. But don't think that if that pauper was going to go ahead and win the mega, I think there's a big lottery now that's going on, right? Person wins, you know, millions and millions of billions, probably billions of dollars, that all of a sudden, zeo, no more nisayon. No. Ha'oyishir mitzad echad. That wealth also brings with it a tremendous nisayon. Ki nincha amru shloim ha'melech. Pen ezva b'chichashti, b'amarti mi Hashem, pen oyirish v'ganavdi. Now, if I grow wealthy, so then I'm going to come to a state where I say, I don't need a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's what the Kotzker says. What was the big deal? That a Kaddish Baruch Hu punished the Nachash with saying that you're going to eat the afar, you know, ta'ichal kol yamecha, whatever the pasuk says, that he's going to eat dust his whole entire life. That's a wonderful thing. Can you imagine having food wherever you went? Today it's come out like that. You know, but having a snake, you know, he never has to think about food. He's eating dust the whole day. Says the Kotzker, yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Wherever he goes, he has food. But you know what the curse is? Is that never once does he have to lift his eyes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Master of the world, I'm hungry. That's the curse. That's the curse. A blessing like that, you could have that blessing. It's a curse. It's a curse. And that's what the nisayon of Ashiris is. The nisayon of Anios is you can come to steal, you can come to cheat, you can come to, who knows, desperate measures, right? You need to pay the rent. But Aishar Mitzad Echad is perhaps even worse, is to live a kind of life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer a necessary presence. And that's the biggest curse of all. To live in such a place. That's what Shlomo HaMelech says. Pen Ezba, if I come satisfied, v'chichashti, v'amarti mi Hashem, and I say, who needs God? Ha, shalva mitzad echad, v'yisur mitzad echad, v'chula anshinimsa mochama ila panav ha'achar. No matter where you go, ke'ilu, you know, again, in that aspect of heim amru, which we need, you know, to realize that there's so much to do and so much to accomplish, every moment is an isayim gadol ma'od. But akapanim, you see ha'oishur mitzad echad, that it's not pashit wealth, it's not a pashit sugya. And Rabbi Nachman says that a person needs to have a tremendous yirida, right? That's part of that process. If a person's trying to attain wealth, even for holy purposes, but ultimately it's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. It does look like they're going to do Mariv. Let's go to number 7, just because it's shayach and it's short. And then next week, Bezer Hashem, also push it over to next week. We'll start with 5 and 6, and then we'll start Sichas around Hay, which, by the way, is very long and is going to take us a few weeks to do. We've been lucky; we've had, you know, short little pieces, but Hay is a little bit longer. Okay, so let's jump into the very last piece, and with this, we'll wrap it up, and we'll dive in Mariv afterwards. P'siyata d'shmaya, and I thank you all for coming, each and every one of you. Means the world to me. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful experience that I couldn't have had otherwise. I could learn the same things 1,000 times, but when you don't have the siyata d'shmaya of sitting with other chevra, learning it together, it's missing. So thank you so much. So here Rabbi Nachman says, Hatam shat tzadikim shebezman hazeh hem ashirim. He says this, that we do find that there are some tzaddikim that are wealthy in our times, even though at the beginning of this piece he seems to say not that way, right? That it's, we don't find that tzaddikim are ashirim now. And that earlier on, how you rubim aniva avyonim, in previous generations, everybody was very, very poor. Zemarubas b'mishnah, amazing thing. He says this is hinted to in the Mishnah in Avos, that the Mishnah in Avos says, kolam kaima satari me oini, soifal kaima me oisher. That a person who tries to embody the ideals of the Torah first in a way of oini, in a way where he's not focusing on being marviach, again, in a healthy, you know, in a healthy situation, a person needs parnasa, there needs to be a shtadlus, but in a normal amount, right? Not to be marviach. Soifai l'kayim v'boisher. At the end of the day, he's going to be able to experience that same level of limud haTorah, maybe even higher, we'll learn that next week, in a place of wealth. But on a simple level, this is talking about one person's life, right? And in the beginning, a person's young, a person is involved in Torah to such a place where it's mamish, memis atzmei aleh, there's no other consideration. Afterwards, soif l'kayim abayishar. Says Rabbeinu Zuchon HaNavracha, v'atzadikim shebazman hazeh, heim heim atzadikim shoyi b'dayret, b'zman ha-makoydmin. These tzadikim are the tzadikim of the zman ha-makoydmin, where this b'china was that they're the gilgulim of those that are the aspect of Kalam HaKayim HaSatar Mi'ayin. So therefore, in earlier generations, these same tzaddikim had to go ahead and live lives of Ayni, because that's what the Mishnah says, that at the beginning it's going to start with poverty. Now, at the end of time, where those same tzaddikim are megugal and come back again, so they're able to go ahead and to be mekayma me'oysher, which is not an interesting idea, you know, to understand that many of the tzaddikim in the later generations who are megala things that even previous generations weren't in terms of sod, in a certain way, it's like, what do you mean? You read a sadaris, but who? What do you know about gugulim? What do you know who Rabbi Nachman is? What do you know who Rabbi Chaim Vital was? Like, what, you know, what, because he was born later on, and we don't know anything on a neshama level who these people were, what they were connected to. But Akapanim, this is another take on this concept of Ashiras, that although Rabbi Nachman says in the beginning of Sicha Dal that in our times we don't find that the Sadiqim Ruba de Ruba are Ashirim, and it comes with a tremendous amount of difficulty, Nimsa, we find, right, that those Sadiqim that did tap into wealth ultimately were gogulim of those that in the beginning found it very difficult and probably went through all of that kvedus and difficulty and danger spiritually. But at the end, they managed to come to a place of Seifel Kaimam Ma'osher. Next week, we're going to see Be'ezer Hashem, a piece from Likut Imran Tara Samach, which seems to say the opposite, and I still really don't have it clearly worked out. Hopefully, I'll have another week now to think about it. I was hoping you guys would help me. But where Ibn Ahmed seems to say that there's a certain level of Liman HaTorah that can only come through Ashiras. And I'm trying to like figure that out. And I spoke to some Bresh of Mashpi. I'm like, how do you? And everybody had nothing really fit yet. You know, everybody said a different mahalik. Maybe ulai. You know, but here Ibn Achman says clear that it's a mazik. You know, and over there he says it's absolutely needed. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbeinu Hakadosh Rebbe was masada the Mishnah. Zera, these people are phenomenally wealthy because they had to reach such levels. So how do you put those two things together? We'll try to grapple with that and wrestle with that next week. B'siyata Mishmaya. Thank you so much for coming. Yeshikayach.